Today we're going to be looking at the topic of biblical salvation. It's really important because so many people understand salvation to mean many different things. So we're going to primarily be looking in John chapter 3 when Jesus dialogued with Nicodemus, and Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So join with me today as we search these truths to help any individual understand exactly how they can experience God's forgiveness and they can have biblical salvation. Well, for weeks we've been talking about it. We've been praying about it. What is it? It's revival. If you look online at Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, you'll find several definitions, but the one that applies to us is this, and I quote, a religious awakening of religious fervor, especially by means of a series of evangelistic meetings, close quote. As we began looking at the topic of biblical salvation, there's a question that is often asked. What are some of the reasons people go to church or worship? Well, I've jotted down some reasons, and I want to see if you agree with me this morning. The first is they gather to worship God and fellowship with believers. Secondly, out of religious obligation, they feel that it's expected of them. Another reason is for social status. Another reason is they're searching for answers, but I think probably the bottom line is at some point in time, they are searching for hope. They're searching for peace. When you drill down to it, at some point, people are searching for hope and peace. And they'll search in various places, thinking at some point, they will discover the solution to their emptiness and lack of peace. Are you searching for hope? Are you searching for assurance? Searching for peace? Are you searching for love? Are you troubled? Be honest with yourself, because God already knows. Listen to the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He also said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I leave you with peace. My peace is a gift the world cannot give. Don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. And again in John chapter 10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have life, and that they may experience it to the fullest. Why do you think people are not experiencing the peace, hope, and abundant life that Jesus promised? In John chapter 3, Jesus talked to an individual called Nicodemus. And for a moment, for a few minutes, we're going to think and talk about Nicodemus. Now, if you do any further study other than just John chapter 3, you will know that history says Nicodemus was a lawyer, was a teacher. And so we understand basically that Nicodemus had everything. He had religion. He had influence, he had prestige, but he was still searching for answers. Jesus told Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus asked, how can these things be? He went on to ponder from Jesus. He said, Lord, how can a grown person go into his mother's womb again? Well, obviously, that's not what Jesus was talking about. And so let's find out why people are still asking, how can these things be? Recent survey data proves that most people in America are trying to earn their way to heaven by doing good works. In a recent Pew Center poll, the data demonstrates that among Americans, we believe by large margins that if you're a good enough person, if you do enough good deeds, then you will earn salvations. But what does the Bible have to say about receiving God's forgiveness? Well, if you're taking notes, let me give you four things today that, according to the scripture, you must do these if you're going to receive God's forgiveness and have a personal relation with Jesus Christ. First of all, the scripture says to deny yourself. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, if you're going to follow after me, you must deny yourself. The word deny, interestingly enough, does not mean deny yourself a Snickers bar or deny yourself some specific something like Lent or fasting. No, the word that Jesus used here literally means to forget oneself, to lose sight of one's own interest. So what Jesus is saying is that if you want to follow after me, you must give up on your own, the right to your wants and wishes and dreams and ambitions and your own plans. You must give those up to gain me. So Jesus was clear. First of all, you have to deny yourself. Secondly, the scripture teaches in John chapter 3, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, that you must believe. In fact, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, there's our word, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, interestingly enough, the word believe in the Bible is not at all like the word believe in English. When I use the word believe in English, I say, well, I believe it's going to be sunny tomorrow because that's what the weatherman said. I believe that I'm going to win Publishers Clearing House because I have filled out all the envelopes and replaced them. I believe just simply means I'm hoping that based upon something I did, this is going to come true. No, dear friend, the word believe in the Bible means to have or to place a complete confidence in, to have an absolute assurance. So then what do we have to completely have confidence in? First of all, the truth of the gospel. You've heard that term so often. What is the gospel? Very simply, that Jesus was born of a virgin, a miraculous birth. Secondly, that he lived a sinless life. It's so important, we must believe that Jesus never sinned so that, number three, he could pay the penalty for our sin. That when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he literally became the payment for sin. He was the pure and spotless lamb that had been sacrificed in the Old Testament. So we must believe the truth of the gospel. But we also must believe the testimony of Jesus. You'll remember that in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father except he comes by me. Well, dear friend, you must absolutely believe that. There is no plan B, C, or D. It is only plan A. We have to completely, absolutely believe that Jesus is the only way for us to know God personally. And then the third thing you have to believe in, you have to believe the gospel. You must believe the testimony of Jesus, but you also must believe that you are utterly and totally helpless. Well, where is that in the scripture, Michael? Well, it's clear from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. If we could do something ourselves, if there's anything that we could do to merit salvation, then Jesus would be a liar when he said, I'm the only way to God. If there was some way that we could be good enough, do good enough deeds, like so many Americans think, then Jesus' death on the cross was just simply a martyr's death like so many other people have experienced. No, friend, you must believe the truth of the gospel. You must believe the testimony of Jesus, and then we must believe that in and of ourselves, we are totally helpless. The third thing that an individual must believe to experience biblical salvation is to repent. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I say the word repent, oftentimes that conjures up all kinds of negative imagery, maybe even negative memories Some of you may have grown up in a church or grown up in a home where someone was always in a very negative way, in a negative tone, hollering, repent. Well, literally, the word repent means to think afterwards. To put it in the way that we would commonly say it today, we might tell one of our children, if you think you're going to do that, you better think again. Well, what we're telling our children is to completely have a different thought than what you're thinking now. Well, that is the word picture of repent. It's to think again or to think afterwards. You'll remember that John the Baptist came preaching a message of repentance. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, unless you repent. And then Peter in Acts chapter 2, when asked, the Bible says that the people after his sermon were cut to the quick or cut to their heart. He said, what must we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent, have a complete different thinking about Judaism and that the law can save you and that by keeping the law and doing good things. No, Peter understood the teaching and belief and of Jesus and believed it to the point where he was telling others that you must repent and believe, and then baptism will follow through. So repentance is absolutely necessary for biblical salvation. And then the fourth thing that we want to talk about is confession. And again, I know that in some religious circles, confession means something much different than what I want to talk about this morning. To confess, in biblical terms, simply means to agree with. So, if you really want to be literal, if I walk up to you and say, Bill, this is a black Waterman pen that I'm holding in my hand. And then I ask you, Bill, what am I holding in my pen? And you say, well, Michael, it's a black Waterman pen. You have confessed. You have agreed with me that what I said is accurate. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus is Lord. We must confess that Jesus is Lord. Confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And again, going back to what Jesus said, we must confess, we must agree with that Jesus is the only way to God, John 14, 7. And we must also understand that this confession takes your life and your lips. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says that if you confess, there's our word, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what does the scripture have to say about biblical salvation? Is it being a good person? Is it being a religious person? Is it being a nice person? The Bible says you must deny yourself. You must believe the gospel. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sin. You must agree that the Bible calls us sinners, and we must repent of that sin and confess that Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and that in and of myself, I am desperately hopeless and helpless. The question that remains, have you denied yourself? Have you believed, repented, and confessed your sin? Are you ready to stop searching? So many Americans are not. But the question for you today is, are you ready to come to Jesus and experience life?